You've got game four tonight, big game with the Knicks down 2-1. I thought this was interesting, considering the fact that the Knicks came back on the Celtics, not once, but twice, being down a whole bunch in Boston in one game, that this was the take Charles Barkley had on TNT Sunday night with the Knicks down, down 13 at the time.
First two games were really good games, and now this game is pretty much over. But this is a wrap because the Pacers, the Knicks can't play fast and beat the Pacers, but they're down 13, so they got to play fast. They're going to get ran out this damn building.
Like, I thought that was weird. And then, of course, they do come back and they wind up winning the game.
Well, especially means the Knicks have come back. The Pacers have come back. Everybody's come back. And just for him to just think that that's not possible is crazy.
Very strange. Here was, you had a bunch of conference calls with the Knicks yesterday. This was Tom Thibodeau, just loves this team.
When you're with a team, you want to maximize all the opportunities that you do get. And you want to try to get the most out of your group. And I think each day when you have a committed group, that's, you know, that's what you enjoy. You enjoy the challenge of it all.
And then Jalen Brunson, so he didn't offer this up. He was asked the specific question, what would it mean for Tom Thibodeau to finally get to the NBA Finals? And this is how he answered it.
Watching this man work tirelessly day in and day out, 364 days out of the year. He maybe takes one day off. It would mean a lot.
He's not married, right, Tibbs?
I don't know.
But here's the thing. I'm not sure. You know, that should just tell all Tom Thibodeau haters, just your best player loves his coach.
I agree.
I mean, in the NBA, you know how hard that is to make happen? I mean, that's all you have to listen to. The loudest among us are the ones that go right after the coach immediately. He doesn't make any adjustments. He got out-coached by this guy, got out-coached by that guy. Why? Because the star has a horrendous game?
Yeah.
I mean, God almighty.
Well, here was his star.
By the way, just before, because you asked the question, here's AI overview on Tom Thibodeau being married. Tom Thibodeau has never been married. He was engaged to a woman named Debbie while in graduate school at Salem State, but the engagement was called off 6 weeks before the wedding. He broke off the engagement because he felt he couldn't pursue his basketball dreams with the required dedication and also be married.
Well, there you go. He's a basketball lifer. That's what he is.
Married to the game, they say, Jerry.
Yeah. And here is Brunson, exactly what you're just talking about, Boomer. What about the constant criticism of Tibbs?
There's always going to be a lot of noise, positive or negative. And so, it's all about what we think, it's all about what we do, all about the work we put in and day out, and trusting, obviously, our journey. And so, regardless of what people say, we're always going to have each other's backs.
And they certainly have through these this postseason. So, and here was Landry Shamet. This was from Sunday night, just talking about Karl Anthony Towns in that fourth quarter.
Of course, he carried us home there at the end. You know, we put ourselves in a position to be close, and he, you know, did his thing on the way to the stretch.
And dominated, as we know, and they trail 2-1. Aaron Nesmith questionable with the ankle injury for this game for tonight in Indiana. If they win, they'll come back all even with a ton of momentum for game 5 at Madison Square Garden in a couple of nights. The other series in the West, you had the Thunder and the T-Wolves. Minnesota, they did win game 3, as we know, got to within 2-1. They were looking to get even in their set. Unfortunately for them, that was not to be the case.
Shea with 120 to play. Kicks left wing, Dub open. Snaps off a rainbow 3. In there! Cha-chinga, J-Dub off their bunny ball. Oh, baby! 34 for Dub, a playoff career high. Shea's got 10 assists. Thunder back up 7.
And that was Thunder Radio with the call. They'd wind up holding off Minnesota to win 128-126. Jalen Williams had 6 threes at 34. But Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 40 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists.
12 of 14 from the line.
Pretty good.
He gets the line a lot, and he makes his free throws.
Here was Williams, how he did it so well offensively.
Just making quick decisions, being ready to shoot, being ready to play. I think my defense got me in the game as well, but just being ready to play off of my team and trust each other to make the right plays and make shots.
Not a good shooting night for Anthony Edwards or Julius Randle. Randle had just 5 points. Here was Edwards. Pretty easy to see what happened tonight.
They outplayed us, out-rebounded us, got more of the 50-50 balls. They wanted it a little more. They went back to how they was playing game 1 and 2, just in a gap, super, super heavy.
And so now the Thunder are up 3-1 and can close it out in game 5 back home at OKC. And also there's, I'll pull some of the audio. I see headlines and articles written about, I guess, Doris Burke said some stuff.
Yeah, she talked about
the French and Germans
the
not
French
liking
and Germans not liking each other. So that was
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, Rudy Gobert and
Isaiah Hartenstein.
Yeah, Hartenstein.
So. Got it. Okay. Well, I will see what that's all about.
Hartenstein's German, Rudy Gobert don't yapping back and forth about how they don't like each other. She said no history, but I think they don't like each other.
That's it? That was it?
That's all it was, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, the Yankees played in Anaheim last night, a later start as they were taking on the Angels. There was not a ton of offense in this game, but there was one big hit.
Hope you try to pick up at least one run here with a fly ball at the very least. Next pitch. Swung on, drive to center field. Slicing drive. Going back, Taylor. It bounces off the fence. Scoring is Grisham. Judge right behind him. Belly's flying. He's going to score. Anthony Valpe. A three-run double in the Yankees. Expand the lead to 4-1 here in the fourth inning.
And they would win 5-1. Dave Sims with the call here on the Fan. That was kind of it for the offense. You had a bases loaded walk. There wasn't a whole lot going on, but they win the game. They've won 14 of 19 as they continue to win a lot. 33-20 on the season after the Rockies beat them Friday night.
Yes.
You said that's why they play the games. Well, Colorado won Friday and almost Sunday, too. They wound up holding them off 5-4. But the Yankees did win that series, and they take the first
one. It's like the White Sox. Like, you knew the White Sox were going to blow this game yesterday to the Mets. You just knew it.
As it kept going on and on,
yeah, they just knew eventually the Mets would, you know, they left a lot of guys in runners in scoring position. But you just, at the end of the day, losing teams find ways to lose.
Yeah, of course. Well, here was Volpe on the at-bat for the double.
Just want to get something I can handle and do the job and get it up. So, yeah, he threw me one, and I took advantage.
Hmm. And then you had Ryan Yarbrough.
I like that voice.
Yeah, I mean, it's very Garrett Cole-like, that
yes,
voice.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Them two having a conversation. Here's Volpe on again on Ryan Yarbrough. Starts six innings.
It's amazing. I don't think anyone's really surprised just because we faced them on the other side, and it's not a fun at-bat, so... he's a bulldog, and every time he goes out there, we have so much confidence.
That bulldog Ryan Yarbrough, here he was on his success.
I think it's just been, you know, been having a really good approach, talking with the pitching staff and with Wells about, like, just great game plan of just really mixing speeds, keeping him guessing up there, and, you know.
And it worked out. And now tonight you've got Carlos Rodon against Ty Anderson on the Fan. This says first pitch 9:38. So I imagine coverage start around 9 o'clock. Yeah, they got one of these weird start times. But the Yankees, we got the AL East falling apart around them. The Red Sox lost again. The Rays, I think, are in second place now at like 500. Now a 5 or 6 game lead atop the AL East. As for the Mets, they still trail the Phillies by a game and a half in the NL East. But yesterday, indeed, it was a game of not much offensively. The White Sox couldn't add on. They had that one run. And then you had the sack fly in the eighth inning from Juan Soto to tie the game after the Mets had squandered a couple of opportunities with runners on third and less than two out. And then in the ninth inning, you had Tyrone Taylor lead off the inning with a big double. And then a couple of batters later, it was Francisco Lindor.
Swinging a high fly ball to right field. That's going to win it. Talkman back. He's at the edge of the track. He makes the one-hand catch. Tyrone Taylor tags at third. Comes down the line to score. Put it in the books. A long sacrifice fly by Francisco Lindor gets the job done.
Yes, it did, and they win 2-1. That was high. I'm Howie
Rose. Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Odyssey Radio. Mets 33-21 with the win. This was Lindor on being the hero again.
I come up in those situations. I have good hitters in front of me. They got on base. They made it easier for me, and then I got great hitters behind me as well. So
it worked out for him again. And Tyrone Taylor is the one that started this whole thing off with the double that the center fielder almost caught but did not. Here was Taylor.
It was a good pitch. I was just trying to see be on time for a fastball up close to me, and I just got put a good swing on that sweeper.
Yeah, I would say so. Almost looked like a home run. Even Beatty looked like hit a home run, I thought, in a couple of innings prior, and then the Lindor sack fly looked like a home run as well, but the ball stayed in the park. Did you see the... I didn't see this. Al brought this to my attention. There was a section of furries there yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, usually see that. The furry convention was in Pittsburgh every single year, so that's why I'd seen them at PNC Park a ton, but this was surprising to me that the furries showed up there yesterday.
A bit odd.
Yeah. But they're out there.
They are out in left field.
I don't understand, but hey, to each his own, I suppose. Furries for everybody.
Whatever turns you on, Jerry.
Yeah, that doesn't. That's kind of a way. I said to Al, like, if I had seats there and that's next to me.
Yeah, yeah, I'm complaining to somebody.
I'm not complaining, but I got to
no,
move.
I am. I'm, I can't. These are just,
I'd be distracted.
I can't do
it's
this.
It's just odd. Anyhow, Clay Holmes, by the way, allows the one run over 5 2/3. Edwin Diaz did get the win. You've got Tyler McGill making the start tonight on 880 AM Mets Odyssey Radio at 710. The Mets, as we mentioned, 33-21 now on the season. Yeah, I did not realize until the series began that the Hurricanes have been so bad in the conference finals.
Yes.
And then, of course, they lose the first three games to the Panthers. So they do win yesterday. They snapped a 15-game losing streak in the conference finals. 3-0 was the final, a game that was closer than 3-0. Here was Rod Brindamore on finally getting that monkey off his back.
You know what? I didn't even think about that, but that's nice. I mean, it means so like nothing to these guys because half of them aren't here, and you know. But it's been a story, so yeah. It's nice to not have to talk about that.
Not have to deal with that anymore, but they are still down 3-1 in that series, so things not going their way. You've talked about how good Florida is, and Florida continues to be that good. You've got game 4 for the Oilers and the Stars tonight with Edmonton up 2-1, and this Caitlin Clark injury. This quad injury has the WNBA, yes, upside down. Yes, uh-oh is right, so we'll see what happens there.
Is Brendan Shanahan going to be the Islanders GM here?
Matthew Darche.
Yeah, so it didn't happen. I was all fired up about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, he can't come, you know, at some point.
And then but, be like a president of
or something. It sounds like this Matthew Darche is going to have a complete say over the total hockey operations.
Okay.
So he was the assistant GM down in Tampa.
Mm.
So he's got a lot of decisions to make right out of the gate. And so he's going to have a, what I would say is a fresh palate.
Mm.
And supposedly he's going to have a lot of say. So we'll see what he does. And if he follows what they did down in Tampa, how could they go wrong?
That's right.